you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Good morning. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and we're coming to you from the east coast of Australia, or at least I'm on the east coast. Gloria's a bit inland. She's down in Dubbo, New South Wales. And I'm up in Ipswich in Queensland. That's about 600 miles apart, to use American terminology. But we will be together from the 20th of this month, and we're looking forward to that. Gloria's house sitting, or farm sitting, or whatever you want to call it.
It's sitting and plant sitting.
Yeah. So, and on the screen, we've got our guest minister, and we will start with, we're back to the old format, Cherry. We're doing the introductions up front. So can we start with you, Cherry, and introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension? And by third dimension, I mean all of you who are watching this live stream on a video, whether it be actually while it's live streaming or later on, you guys are in the third dimension. Us on screen, we're two dimensional. Mm-hmm. But you add the third dimension. Over to you, Cherry.
Yes, I'm Cherry Toll, and I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina, and I love this team, love this, all of the, everything that I've learned, so much more. It's just great. Good people. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Cherry. Over to you, Emmanuel, to introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension and tell us all about your ministry too, please, Emmanuel.
Hello, my name is Emmanuel Gentle, and I'm in Colorado Springs, right by the mountains. I'm a graduate of Caris Bible College, and I still live here in town. So I do ministry online, Facebook. That's basically what I do. So if you look me up, Emmanuel Gentle, you will find me there. Thank you.
Thank you, Emmanuel. And all the ministers on the screen have great input into this, into these GFCD Q&A Bible studies. And the Q&A means questions and answers. So you guys out there in the third dimension, can you put your thumbs to work and ask us questions? And ministers who are very knowledgeable in the word, ministers such as Rick Bush will, you know, be able to answer your questions while we're live streaming. So, Rick, can you introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension, please, and tell us who the puppy is in your hands?
Yeah, the most important guy is this fella, Mighty Samson. He's just over 6 weeks, 6 months old. He's actually, I think it's about 28 weeks tomorrow. So he's enjoying himself. I'm Rick Bush. My wife Elaine is here, and we live in Michigan. And it's great to be able to be here. And hopefully Sam will help me out if I stumble on something.
And look, I'll just add a little caveat here. Rick and Elaine have been here since the very beginning. Before we were even doing video Bible studies, we had an audio Bible study. And sometimes I go back and have a listen and I go, oh my goodness, how primitive was that? So we have grown over the years. But just such faithful supporters, Elaine and Rick Bush of GFCD. And we just can't thank God enough, because we give our praise to our Lord Jesus Christ that he has sent all these ministries. These are supernatural connections. And right now I'm going to hand over to Gloria to open this Bible study with prayer and to lead us all through communion, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, so for you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and you would like to join us for communion, go and get something that you can use for the elements to represent the body and blood of Jesus, and come and fellowship with us. Even if you're watching this sometime in the future, you're welcome to still join us. It's alive and living. It never is stale. It never deteriorates. This message is for now, whenever you are hearing it. So, Father God, we thank you for this precious time. We thank you for the ministers who have given their time to come and be a part of this Bible study. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that your word goes out into the world and rests in the hearts of people who are hungry to know you, to learn, to grow. And we thank you that your word is living, alive, and sets people free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the communion message that I did last night focused not just on what Christ has done for us through his sacrifice at the cross, but it focused also on us. And I know that's not what communion's meant to be. It's meant to be about remembering Jesus. But for we who find, and I'm struggling to find the words because this is something I haven't practiced or run through, but there are times in our lives when there are things that we find very difficult to manage in our own strength. And there are times when we just have to say, Lord, I can't do this. You need to do it for me. No matter how much I try, I fail. But I place my hope, my trust, my faith in you and you alone. I look to the cross. I look to the finished work of the cross. I look to what you have won for me at the whipping post by taking the stripes on your back for my healing, and what you have won by shedding your blood for the sin of the world and for my sin. And as I surrender to you, Jesus, I acknowledge that there are some things that I can't deal with in my flesh. And by faith, I look to the cross and I believe that you, Jesus, are the only one that can make the difference in my life. By faith, I believe that the stripes you took on your back paid for my healing. And I surrender my flesh and my self-will. And I ask you, Lord, to have your way in my life. That your sacrifice is all I need to believe in and all I need to focus on. It says in Galatians 5:24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And I thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I am healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. It took away the sin of the world and it took my sin. And because I am now righteous because of your sacrifice, I look to the finished work of the cross. I look to the risen Jesus. And I say that my sin has been nailed to the cross and crucified with Christ. And I am risen new because of you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood. I praise you, Jesus, for you are the living Lord. You are the way, the truth, the hope. And Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you gave your only begotten Son to die, to sacrifice his life for each one of us. And as we look to you and by faith believe what has been achieved at the finished work of the cross, We are set free from bounds and bondages that have held us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the living Jesus. Jesus, our high priest seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Well, this is a Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews, and I'm excited to say that we're in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is just probably one of the best known chapters in the book of Hebrews, and it's all about faith. And we, last night's Bible study, we covered Hebrews 11, verse 1. We're going to start here in verse 2. We'll read verses 2 and 3. I was saying to Emmanuel before, normally we package about 6 or 8 verses together, but this chapter is so powerful that just about every verse is a standalone. So I'm going to get Gloria to read Hebrews 11, verses 2 and 3, and then we will jump on screen and get comments from the ministers in the... We might go start, we'll start with Cherry, and then we'll go to Rick, and then we'll come to Emmanuel. So I'll just jot that down. So we're going to start with Cherry, and then Rick, and then Emmanuel. And yeah, so here we go. Over to you, please, Gloria. Wait until I'd share screen. And it's just the two verses, please, Gloria. Hang on, am I in the right spot? I've been reading ahead in my prep. So.
Yes, it's
verse okay, so Gloria, can you read from verse 1? But the comment, Cherry, if you could just comment on verses 2 and 3, because the people in the third dimension can always scroll back and listen to the previous Bible study to pick up the comments for verse 1.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible.
Actually, I might... Thanks, Gloria. I might jump in with the first comment. So I just want to really slowly read, because it's almost self-explanatory. Verse 2, for by it, for by what? Faith. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. See, it was accounted to them, right? They obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith. We learnt last night that faith is substance, right? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen... What are the things that are seen? The things in this earthly natural realm. We can see them with our eyes. We can see them. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What are the things which are not visible? They're the things in the spirit realm. All right? Now, we know from the Bible that God created. He is the creator. And one of the points that Pastor Keith Wall keeps making is that so many Christians today are doubting creation because they have been bombarded by the theology of evolution. Evolution is merely a theology, and it's not correct. It's actually a lie. The word of God is the truth. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Cherry now for comments on verses 2 and 3, please.
Can you see me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I would like to just say that the by faith, what is the by faith? The faith, we have to have that faith, but we also have to know what God has for us. And we have to get alone with him and receive from the kingdom realm. We read the word, but he imparts to us faith in his kingdom. And then we take the precious promises and we speak that word. And we're actually framing our future. You know, I came up with this idea. I know it was the Lord, that what do you have your wall framed with? You know, your wall is framed with the future that you have spoken into the spirit in the kingdom realm, that you know that God has spoken that into your heart. And it might not be visible right now, but it's coming. And it's going to be in his time. But you do that by praying the word, by faith. And that word is framed into the spirit realm. And it comes back to you, or comes back in a way that through his kingdom promises. That's it. Gary, thank you.
Yeah, you just triggered something for me. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Have you got your Bible there, Gloria? Can you quickly look that up for me? I think I've got it here. It is written, "I believed, and therefore I have spoken." Right. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. And that's what came while Cherry was speaking there. Over to you, please, Rick.
Well, that's right on, Cherry. You know, it's important that we not only have the faith to speak what God has said, because that's the basis of our faith, is God's word, what he said. And that's whether we see it or we don't now, we have to be fully persuaded, as Abraham was fully persuaded, that God was going to do what he said, that it's already a done deal, even though year after year went by. And even when God asked him to take Isaac, his son that he'd been waiting for, up and sacrifice him to prove his love, when he went up, he told the camp, "Me and the boy will be back," even though he fully intended to do what God told him to. And in his mind, God could raise him from the ashes. It didn't matter. God promised him this boy. Now he has this boy 25 years later. And if God told him to do this, and he was trusting God, because he also knew that through this boy, he was going to have a lineage. His seed was going to be as great as all the stars, greater than all the stars you could see, all the sand that he could see on the earth. And Jesus himself said in Mark, I think it's 11:24 or 11:23, that believe that you received when you pray, not after you see it. Not once you can say, "Oh, I can put my hands on it." No, believe you've received it when you prayed. Mm-hmm. And we do that by faith. We do that by our faith, the same faith of God that God had when he thought about light, he imagined light, and then he spoke with his word light into being. God knew that light would show up. Well, we have to know that what God has promised will show up, whether we see it, feel it, have any proof of it. Our proof is that God's word is greater than what we see, what we feel, what we have experienced in our own life, what the experts say. But we have, our heart has to believe that. And frankly, that takes, you know, earlier in Hebrew, it talked about spiritual maturity, about working your spiritual muscles. You have to train, you have to do, you have to experience not only the exercise of believing when it's not there yet, but through that, you also gain the experience that changes hope from something that we're looking to happen, and because we have experience now that it has happened. We've got that as well as our faith and belief in God. We have proof because God has been faithful to us as he always is, and we can point to things and testify that these things that we now have prayed are going to happen just like those other things, because that's who our God is.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Rick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rick was talking about, he was actually talking about the prayer of faith there early in the piece. And if you go back to James, I just can't pinpoint the exact chapter or verse, but it says in James, it says, is any among you sick? All right, he's asking a question. Is any among you sick? Let him, the sick person, call for the elders of the church. That's it. That's the instruction to the sick person. Then there's instructions to the elders of the church. And they will pray the prayer of faith. They will anoint his head with oil, and they will pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will raise up that sick person, something like that. But James doesn't tell us what the prayer of faith is. Rick just told us what the prayer of faith is. And that prayer of faith is over in Mark. Mark 11, and I think, Gloria, can you look this up, verses 21 to 23, and just read it to us? Now, this is the instruction for the prayer of faith. Can I hand over to you, Gloria? Mark 11, I think it's 21.
Yeah. You want me to read from verses 20?
I think 21. Start at 21. 22. There you go.
All right. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.
Yeah, thanks, Gloria. As Rick said, see, the believing comes first. You believe that you receive them and you will have them, because the believing, going back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the believing is a decision. Believing is just simply a decision. Believing doesn't have quantity. It is like binary code. I believe the word or I unbelieve the word. See, faith has quantity. Faith has substance. Right? Faith has, like, you can have little faith. You can be a person of great faith. But all of these things that Jesus mentioned that were attributed to faith, a faith, as I see it, as I read the Word of God, a faith people had before they got born again. Now, what happens when you get born again is that you are given the measure of faith. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. And from the point of the new birth, when each of us personally get born again, we operate in the faith of the Son of God, not our own faith. And I know it's kind of tilt-tilt. It's a little bit, how do I get my head around this? Well, that's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that you weren't given a measure of faith. At the new birth, you were given the measure of faith, which is the same faith that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Right? I won't labour that point. I'll do a more extensive teaching on that at a time to come. So where are we? We're going to Emmanuel next, aren't we? Yeah, over to you, Emmanuel.
Yes, the subject of faith is kind of mysterious to so many Christians. But if you start from that point of knowing that we were given the measure of faith, that's a good starting point, because everything concerning the walk in Christ, the Christian walk, starts by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So that gift Gary is talking about comes right at the new birth. So you have it. Now, the amount of what you have, because it's the same measure of faith, and how much of it you use as a person is what makes us say somebody has great faith, somebody has little faith. I, in my mind, liken it to words. We say sometimes that he is a man of many words, and then we say, oh, this man is a man of few words. So you may have the whole vocabulary, but how much of it you use or how much you speak, that's how faith is measured. So as a Christian, because you were given faith at the new birth, praying for faith shouldn't even be part of your vocabulary. You shouldn't pray for faith. A Christian should not pray to get faith, because the very fact that you are a Christian means that you have been given that same measure of faith that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So technically, the prayer of faith is prayed in unbelief. You have to doubt that you have faith to even begin praying for faith. So if we all start by knowing that we already have the faith, now how much of it do we use? That is the practical aspect of faith. If you use the faith every day, whatever you say and shall not doubt in your mind, you shall have what you say. Now, what if you haven't said anything at all? That's how you measure, oh, this man has little faith. Why? Because he hasn't put what he has into words. So he can't even believe for anything yet, because Jesus said, whatever you say. And that saying is birthed out of the faith that you have already been given. So the faith issue, that's why Jesus said, if you have as little as mustard seed, you are good to go. And we all have more than mustard seed. But how much of it are we using? And so we have to step out and use our faith in the little things. You need a postage stamp, believe God for it. You need a phone, believe God for it. You need headache healed, believe God for it. So as you practice in the little things, then when the big things come, you have already seen it working in the little things. You will be able to believe for more. That's what I That's what I have to say about the faith issue. Thank you. Awesome. Go ahead, Gary.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Really good. In summary, faith is voice activated. Faith is voice activated. See, you believe, that's the decision. The moment you believe, you enter into faith. At the moment that you enter into faith and put your trust in Jesus Christ and Him as your Lord and Savior, you receive the faith of Christ. To activate that faith, as Emmanuel said, you have to speak the word. You have to speak the word of God, not your thoughts, not your opinions. Thus says the word of God. If you're standing on healing, you've got to have a healing verse and you declare it. In the Psalms, it says, declare a thing and it will be established for you. You've got to declare it. That is the work of faith. The work of faith is what's coming out of your mouth. It's not getting a hammer and nails out. It's speaking the word of God over your situation. This is the faith thing. I just want to make it really clear for the people watching in the third dimension. As you mature in your Christianity, every step you take, every single step is a choice. It's a choice to walk in the Spirit. It's a choice to walk in faith. It's a choice to believe the Word of God. Now, it's not a matter of pumping yourself up. I've got to have a man of big faith. I've got to have this great faith. No, it's how you choose. If you choose to walk in the Spirit, then that initiates the faith of Christ on the inside of you. And as you have believed, therefore you speak. You know, I could keep going with this, but let's get on with our Bible study. Have we covered? Yes, Rick, over to you.
You know, you said that the faith comes, I don't remember exactly how you put it, but the faith comes when you speak. It's also important, you know, you speak because you have faith, but many of us inadvertently, accidentally, ignorantly, sometimes even willingly, we speak things that are not what the Word of God says, and we speak unbelief. We speak, James also said, bitter and sweet shouldn't come from the same fountain, this fountain. We can speak the Word of God all day long. And then we speak what the world says that's contrary to what the Word of God says. And that is the bitter. And when you mix bitter and sweet together, it's polluted. The way to look at the bitterness is polluted. You've got beautiful, pristine water, the Word of God. And it is very, very effective. It's always effective. But when you speak what is polluted, that is not what the Word of God says, you now have polluted that water and it is no good. It makes the Word of God of no effect. And people are wondering why they're believing in their heart and the best of all of their might, they're believing and they're speaking the Word of God. And then they turn around and speak what the doctor said. We think, but that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, it's what we have to be very careful what's coming out of our mouth, not just about health and healing, but all kinds of other things. The power of life and death. We've heard the power of life and death is in our tongue. And yet we say things like, I'm dying for a piece of cake. Now your heart says, well, wait a minute. Are you dying or are you not dying? What do you really mean when you do say this, when you say that this is what you believe, but your heart gets confused and your heart can't be fully persuaded if you are busy speaking something contrary to what you say you believe and are standing on. And that too, as Gary said, is a choice. We have to make a choice to say, no, I'm going to stop these idle words coming out of our mouth. I'm going to stop saying these things that we grew up thinking were, well, that's just what you say. But we have to stop and control those things that are coming out of our mouth, because it's the enemy that uses it. God doesn't hold back. The enemy takes advantage and now uses the power and authority of our tongue. He uses that to shoot us in the foot, and then we wonder why we're limping. I mean, this is, you know, in a nutshell, it's so important that we don't do that.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, we have to bridle our tongue.
Yes.
The reason we have to bridle our tongue is that unbelief is also voice activated. Just as faith is voice activated, unbelief is also voice activated. At this point, I need to explain what unbelief is. Unbelief is not a lack of faith. Unbelief is not a lack of faith. You see, you can have a lack of faith simply because you have not heard the word of God. But you can't have unbelief unless you've had a choice to believe or to unbelieve. You have to have had the word of God and rejected it,
right,
to be an unbelief. That's why unbelief stops the power of God, because you've got to see the power of God comes through from the grace of God, and it has to be mixed with faith in them that hear it. Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. Let's see if we can do it. I'm just going to hit one verse 4. It's another big one. So I'll get you to read it, and if I can ask the ministers to comment, but and especially me, try and keep my comments short.
Verse 4. So
Just verse 4 alone, please, Gloria.
Okay. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks.
Yeah, this is, I should have looked up the verse that is associated with, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. All right, this is the answer to, somebody else might be able to tell me where the verse is that talks about this, where God looked at the two offerings that were made, one offering by Abel and the other offering by...
You're talking about Genesis?
Yeah. Have you got it there?
I can find it.
Yeah.
What is it you want? I've got it.
Okay, can you read it to us, please, Cherry?
The whole thing, or
no, just the part about the two offerings that God did dislike the offering. I think the wording is a bit heavier than that. The offering by one, and he loved the offering by the other. And people wrongly associate it. They say, well, this wasn't a meat offering. This was a vegetable offering, and he, you know, that's wrong. Because okay, we see the answer to it over here. Hebrews 11:4. So if you can just focus on that, because we're trying to keep this short.
Okay, Cain was a tiller of the ground, and the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn, firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering.
Okay, just hold it at that. Thanks, Cherry, because we've got to keep mm-hmm. this brief. Now, the answer mm-hmm. the answer to this here, that what Cherry just read to us, is in chapter 11, verse 4 of Hebrews. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Can you all, the people in the third dimension, can you all see that? It had nothing to do with the fact that one was vegetables and the other was meat. Nothing to do with that. And yet most of the teachings along this, like these lines, it was because one person offered their offering to the Lord in faith. And when we give unto the Lord today, we have to give by faith, right? Call it tithe or call it giving, whatever you call it. When you give, you've got to give as you have purposed in your heart, and you give by faith, not by compulsion, not by I'm obligated to give because of the, you know, if I don't give, I won't be blessed and all this sort of stuff. You just give unto the Lord because it's what your heart has purposed you to do. Amen. Who are we going to first? We're going to Cherry first. And thanks, guys. Over to you, Cherry.
Well, I can't say any better, Gary. It is what is in your heart, because it goes on to talk about the countenance. And when you do things that are not pleasing to God, eventually you're not strong. Your faith becomes weak. But he said, God actually went to Cain, and he said, "Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." In other words, you are accountable for your heart. And you need to keep your heart right. Do what you feel like is the right thing. And then you will be strong in the faith. That's what. So anyway.
Wow. That's good. Over to you, please, Rick.
Let me let Emmanuel. I so enjoyed listening to what he said. Our time is almost up. I want to give it to you, Emmanuel.
Thanks,
thank
Rick.
You, Rick.
You, Emmanuel.
Thanks, Rick. Yes, verse 4 was talking about how Cain, how Abel acted upon his faith. You see, the faith became fruitful with the act, with the action that followed it. And James 2:20 will say, faith without works is dead. Faith without the corresponding action to that faith is dead. And when you keep reading that same place in Hebrews chapter 11, all the great men of faith, it's corresponding to what they did with the faith. So it is very important for us to put our faith into action, turn our faith into a verb, a doing word. So instead of us trying to get the theory part of the faith, let's just do what the word says. That is the faith. When you do what the word says, you are acting upon that faith. Even at salvation, when you believe in your heart, you still have to speak it out with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, because that belief will make your mouth speak. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Emmanuel. If I could, let me just change the view back to gallery view. Yeah, hey, Rick, we like to have a salvation prayer for those who are watching from the third dimension. And who have not yet made Jesus their Lord. Would you like to lead those people in a salvation prayer for us, please, Rick?
Many of you in the third dimension have chosen to believe on Jesus, but some people are not sure. And you know, God understands, but he loves you. And if you say, you know, I've been hearing about these wonderful things that can be so in my life, all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus. That's what the word says. Call upon the name of Jesus. And if you believe in your heart that he died for you and he was raised for the dead, you will be saved. It just takes that decision. That too is your decision. As we said earlier, we have a choice. You have a choice. If you say, that's me, then pray with me now. Father, I want to know this Jesus. I want to know him and who he really is, and I want him to come and be with me and to teach me how to live life your way. And I want that. I want to be led by you, and I want the things that you've promised me, and I want you to put the desire in my heart to do the things that are pleasing to you, because those things that are pleasing to you are things that are good for me. Your plans for me are good, and I want to live in those plans. You don't want to hold things back from me. You want me to have more than I ever imagined. So I ask now, Father, come, that you receive my desire, and Jesus, come into my heart. And when the enemy tries to tell me that I am I'm in danger, that I'm not saved, this is the day I said, come into my heart, and I will say of the Lord, he now is my Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus. And it's as simple as that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Rick. Over to you, Gloria, to close this study. Give people an email address to contact us. Tell them why they should do it. And you know how to wind it up. Yeah. And close this Bible study with prayer. Thank you.
Just as we've been blessed with so many wonderful teachers, these teachers at some point in their lives had teachers that helped them to learn what they know. Of course, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and it gets to the place where we need no other teacher, because the Holy Spirit is able to teach us. But in those early stages, or even if you've been a Christian for a long time, but you've been under not such good teaching, then you need to be discipled. And that's why it's really important. If you've just made that decision that to live for Christ, then you need to be discipled. And so if you want to email us, it's gfcd.sozo, that's S-O-Z-O, at gmail.com. We'll put you in touch with someone somewhere in the world that's closer to you that will be able to direct you in that right path. And there are so many great resources. Even Grace Faith Christian Discipleship has got over 200 Bible studies. You can go back and listen to anything from Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, and now we're on Hebrews. So there's so much that you can learn. And we've got some excellent teachings there from Pastor Keith and Pastor Kathleen, Word on Wednesday, His Exceeding Great and Precious Promises. There's so much available for you. So, Father God, we just thank you for all that you have done for us. The blessings continue to flow day by day. We receive them with faith. We thank you, Father God, for the ministers who've given their time. We thank you for the people who are out there watching these Bible studies and wanting to know you more. Lord, place a blessing over their lives, their families, their work, and everything else that they encounter. Give them your favor, Father God, that they will grow in the knowledge of you, that they will be blessed in the work of their hands. And Father God, we pray good health and well-being over every one of them, and we bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gloria. I'll just change the view back to gallery view. Yeah, thank you, Gloria. And for you guys out there in the third dimension, just remember where you saw us. Our main platform, even though we stream to six platforms, our main platform is YouTube, Grace Faith Christian Discipleship on the YouTube platform. It's there that you'll be able to find playlists with the, I think it's about 260 Bible studies there. There's also another one that I've just recently started called Romans the Journey. Now, these are 10-minute videos. They're only 10 minutes in length, and they are specifically discipleship videos for people who, like, I'm not omnipresent. I can't be ministering to multiple people at the same time except through these platforms, because this gives me the opportunity to be able to disciple people, many, many people all around the world. And so if you go to our YouTube platform, have a look for Romans the Journey. They're only 10 minutes each. At the moment, it's only a new program. We've only got 11 teachings in there. But I'm pretty sure you'll find that they're very, very powerful, because the book of Romans is probably the masterpiece of Paul's writing, and Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament. Over to you, Gloria.
I just got one extra plug I'd like to make, and that is our e-newsletter that comes out to all those people who have subscribed to our newsletter. Go and have a look at it. We've got a different format. We've got some quizzes in there. So if you've been watching this Bible study, there's a question there for you. So, subscribe to our newsletter, because we've got some different things that only go out to people who receive the newsletter.
Yeah. And how do you subscribe to the newsletter, Gloria?
Oh, I'm going to leave that to you.
I thought that one would trick you up. The way to subscribe to the newsletter is to go underneath this video that you're watching. Mm-hmm. You'll see a description. In that description is a link to subscribe to the newsletter. Click on it and subscribe. And the newsletter goes out through MailChimp. You'd be familiar with that. And it goes out every Friday from us here in Australia. You guys in America probably received it on a Thursday. So that's it. Anyway, I'm going to close now. And
bless you all.
Bless you. Love you.
And bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.